All right, I'm going to skip forward a little bit, Logan. 1 John 2:18. So John wrote Revelation, never uses the word Antichrist in the book of Revelation. But he does use the word Antichrist in his other letters to the churches, and he says it this way in 1 John chapter 2, verse 18, children, it's the last hour. He's writing to the churches. It's the last hour. As you have heard, the Antichrist is coming. That's the figure, right? And so now many antichrists have come. Therefore, we know we're living in the last hour or the last days. Similarly, in 2 John chapter verse 7, many deceivers have gone out into the world, those who do not confess the coming of Jesus Christ in the flesh. Such a one is the deceiver and the antichrist. Is it anyone who is who does not confess the coming of Jesus Christ in the flesh is un Antichrist, or even the deceiver in Antichrist. And then, looking at Jesus's own prophecy about the end times, we couldn't get a better voice than Jesus himself. Matthew 24. All right. Jesus, sitting on the Mount of Olives, and the disciples came to him privately and be like, dude, tell us the future. All right. Tell us, when will these things be? What will be the sign of your coming in the end of the age? And Jesus answered them and said, see that no one leads you astray. Many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ. I am the Messiah. They will lead many astray. You will hear of wars, rumors of wars. See that you are not alarmed, for this must take place, but the end is not yet. Nations will rise against nations, kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines, earthquakes in various places, and all of these are the beginnings of the birth pains. They will deliver you up to tribulation and put you to death, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. Many will fall away and betray one another and hate one another, and many false prophets will arise and lead many astray. And because lawlessness will be increased, the love of many will grow cold. But the one who endures to the end will be saved, and this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed through the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. Where is he directing our attention? In a sense, he's saying exactly what we heard in Daniel, right? Like, calm down. There's going to be wars. There's going to be false prophets, false teachers, false Christs, or antichrists. There's going to be all of these. There's going to be lots of them. And you're going to be freaking out, but calm down. The Ancient of Days is still on the throne, and Jesus wins. And here's where your focus should be. He calls our focus to two things. Those who endure to the end will be saved, which calls us to faithful endurance. I'm going to keep my eyes on Christ, and I'm going to endure. And he calls us to boldly proclaim the gospel. I'm going to endure till the end, and I'm going to boldly proclaim the gospel. He doesn't add, make sure you correctly identify the Antichrist among all the Antichrists. He doesn't add that. Ain't nobody got time for that. He says, no, endure to the end, proclaim the gospel. That's where your focus is to be. He goes on in verse 23. If anyone says to you, look, here is the Christ, there he is, do not believe it. For false Christs and false prophets will arise and perform great signs and wonders so as to lead astray, if possible, even the elect. And where does this word Antichrist come from? It's not a title. And Christ is not Jesus' last name. Christ is the Greek translation of Messiah, a Hebrew word, Aramaic word, which means the anointed one. And it's this prophecy of the one who will save us, of our Savior. And so anti is a Greek prefix that either means against or instead of. And we see both of these when it comes to antichrists. We see someone who is against, declaring themselves against God and saying, oh no, you're not going to be saved that way. You're going to be saved this way. Antiochus is a type. Here is the solution to the world's problems. Everybody should speak Greek. Everyone should have Greek culture. Everyone should worship Greek gods. Everyone should do culture and economy and politics and all of it my way, and then that will solve everything. That's a false Messiah, a false Savior. He's putting himself against Christ, against God. The other place we see it is the way that John uses Antichrist, which is someone who's coming and teaching a fake Jesus. As in, anyone who declares that Jesus didn't come in the flesh, this is a Gnostic heresy where they were teaching, like, Jesus wasn't really here because if he became human, then he wouldn't be fully God. And so he was sort of a projected spiritual illusion that looked and walked like a man, but it was more like a puppet that God was using. And that's heresy. That's not who Jesus is. And these guys were teaching a fake Jesus. And anyone who says, well, no, Jesus isn't like that, he's like this. That is the spirit of Antichrist. They're trying to sell you a cheap substitute. They're trying to sell you an imposter. So outside the church, Antichrist looks like someone opposing God or claiming to save you and the world in some way other than Jesus. That's Antichrist. And within the church, it looks like someone teaching another Jesus other than the Jesus of the Word, other than the living Jesus who reveals himself to us through his word and through the Holy Spirit testifying within us and through the body of Christ. So we are to be on the lookout for any and all antichrists. Why? Because they are cheap substitutes that will lead many, even the elect, astray. That should be a little scary to us. Now, does it say that if the elect are led astray, that they will then lose their salvation? It doesn't say that. You can be fooled, and you have been fooled many times. We're going to take some time and reflect on where we see Antichrist among us. I have a picture here of all the Antichrists among us. Every one of these people has been accused of being the Antichrist. I could argue every one of these people has at some point been an Antichrist. Here's how this works. Some of you are like, yeah, some more than others, right? We all have opinions on this. Antiochus is looking to solve the world's problems and to solve your problems by saying, hey, culture should look this way. The economy should look this way. Religion should look this way. And anytime someone is coming and saying, hey, we're going to fix the world if we could just get everyone to vote Republican, or everyone to vote Democrat, or everyone to participate in a free capitalist society, or everyone to embrace democratic socialism, or everyone to worship God the way that I worship God. If someone is coming in and saying, this is how we fix the world, and the answer isn't Jesus, that is Antichrist. That's Antichrist. It's all around us, all the time. And look, some of these people may have put themselves in that place and said, look, I am preaching to you a gospel other than the gospel of Jesus. Believe in me, I'm going to save the world. Some of them are purposely stepping into that role and rejecting God, right? Just explicit. That's Antiochus, right? Just ain't going to make any qualms about it. I'm God, worship me. Some of them we put in that position. It doesn't take someone stepping up and say, believe in me as the Christ, for us to say, to give them that space in our heart. To say, I am looking to you to save our world. I am looking to you to save and fix my life. When we do that, we create an Antichrist, maybe to no one else, but we've given them a place in our heart that only Jesus can fill. That's a disservice to them, and it's poverty to our soul. That's poverty. Look, it's when we talk about our own heart and looking for the spirit of Antichrist, I'll give some tips. It's not the guy in politics. It's not the guy that you hate that's a danger to your soul. It's the guy you like or the girl you like that's a danger to your soul. When it comes to the spirit of Antichrist. Now, informed by Jesus, do we bring everything we learn from him and try to make wise choices as citizens of this country that, you know, well, this best represents the morality, the future that I want to see? This, you know, of all the bad choices, this is the least bad. Like, we go through all that calculus, and that is not sinful. That is not evil. Like, go vote. Absolutely. Right? Bring the best of your knowledge and wisdom and how God has taught you to exegete from the Bible onto the reality of life around us. But don't look to any politician, don't look to any leader, don't look to anyone else to say, and that's going to save us. See the distinction? That says, Jesus alone is going to save us. Now let's do the best we can today. But my heart longs for Christ and Christ alone. My hope is only placed in Christ and Christ alone. No other name by which we can be saved but the name of Jesus. So there are antichrists all around. There are antichrists in the church. How many voices do you hear telling you, well, this is who Jesus is? And often it's a Jesus cast in their own image. Or we cast Jesus in our own image. Well, I don't think Jesus would hate people. I don't think he would hate sin. I think he'd be just like cool with it, like I'm cool with it. You know? Or, well, I think Jesus would hate those people because they're whatever they are, transgender, homosexual, Jesus would hate them. Both of those statements are statements of Antichrist. The Jesus of the Bible comes in and says, you know, who condemns you? Neither do I condemn you. In fact, I'm here to die for you and also go and sin no more. Full of love, full of grace, and full of truth. That's the Jesus of the Bible. So when people are saying, you know, that, and we should learn to recognize cheap counterfeits when they come to our door, even if they're dressed like a cute little four. A Halloween reference. How do we learn to recognize a counterfeit? By being so intimately and personally familiar with our Savior that we simply can't be fooled by any cheap substitute. Are my kids fooled when a stranger pulls up and says, I'm your dad, get in the car? No, because they know me. They know my face. They know my voice. They know my car. They know my plan to come and pick them up. And if there's any doubt that the person starts claiming that they came in my name, they have my number on speed dial. Maybe not first or second, but like somewhere on there. Well, I'm not sure about that. Let me call Dad. We have this gift. We have the scripture, the life, the living word to tell us who Jesus is. We have the Holy Spirit within us, live connection to God himself, to speak and reveal revelation. Who is Jesus? And we don't have to do this alone. We have the people of God. We have the body of Christ. We have wise people. We could be like, huh, can I test this out on you? Let's talk about this. We talk about, you know, avoiding topics like politics. We shouldn't avoid topics like politics in the church. We should be carefully looking together and be like, let's what does Jesus have to say about this? Right? I know that guy's not Jesus, but maybe that's the best future we could get, right? Maybe that it speaks to this moral issue or this social issue, or we should wrestle together with what is Jesus saying about our life and our world and what's real and what's fake. We should be so intimately and personally familiar with Jesus that we accept no cheap substitutes. There's very few things as important as that. I could care less who the first person is to recognize the Antichrist. But for the sake of our souls, we should be able to recognize Antichrists wherever they crop up. To be able to say, nah, that's not Jesus. I know Jesus. That's not someone speaking in Jesus' name. I am branded with the name of Christ. So we're going to walk through communion here together. A classic Antichrist communion. We're going to walk through communion together. Why? Because we are partakers in the body of Christ. And we long to be personally and intimately familiar with who Jesus is. And so we're going to take a few moments at your table to discuss a few things. And the deacons are going to pass out the elements. The deacons and I will pass out the elements. So you'll all have the bread and you'll all have the wine at your table, or the grape juice at your table. And when you have discussed together and reflected on who Jesus is, then together you will toast to Jesus. All right? All right. Who is your Antichrist? That is, who is a temptation to you to put your faith, to put your hope for saving our world and or for saving you? Could be a politician, could be a religious leader, could be a social leader, could be also, who is out there that is a temptation to steal the place in your heart where Christ and Christ alone should live? We've all got some peoples. Who is that for you? And maybe within the church, who is telling you, what voices are speaking to you about who Jesus is? How are you testing them? I'm telling you who Jesus is right now. How are you testing me? Is Dusty right? Is he crazy? As Wayne pointed out today, I'm responsible before God. That's a heavy burden. That's a bit scary. Who's telling you who Jesus is? And how are you personally growing to know Christ? Intimately and personally, so that you can accept no cheap substitutes. So, talk amongst yourselves. That's the subject. And the deacons will pass the elements as we go.